Our scripture reading comes to us this morning from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. Colossians 1, verses 15 through 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross.
Good morning. Please have your Bibles open to Colossians chapter 1, where John just read for us. If you're using one of our pew Bibles, that's on page 983. That's a very bright yellow. But as you can see, Vacation Bible School begins tonight. Let me just highlight a few quick details before we get to this evening. First of all, these are our t-shirts this year. You'll see that we have a Lego man on the back, and it speaks of God being the master builder, especially of our lives, us being wonderfully made in his image. By the way, we've been very careful not to violate any copyright laws or rules regarding Legos, including what's on my back. So I can vouch for that. But let me say something about the t-shirts. If you, especially for all of our members, if you have pre-ordered or signed up for a t-shirt, adults, teens, and now also children, please meet Caroline in the big classroom after, I'm wrong. We'll give children's out tonight. Just adults and teens, meet Caroline in the big classroom immediately after worship, sometime after worship this morning, and you'll get your t-shirt. Kids will get their t-shirts tonight at VBS. Speaking of t-shirts, we sort of like to be color coordinated. If you have any kind of orange, we ask people to wear orange tonight. We have orange VBS t-shirts from years past. You can wear one of those. A few of you might have a UT shirt or two lying around somewhere that you can wear as well. But tonight, the main color is orange, and then tomorrow night we'll wear our VBS this year blue t-shirts. One other quick thing I'd like to say is for all of our workers who are part of the VBS team, if you could just very briefly meet with me at the front of the auditorium once we sort of say bye to everybody after worship. I promise you it will be a quick meeting, but there's just a few brief details I want to go over for all of our volunteers. And also food tonight, we have our picnic at 5 o'clock. We will eat mostly down here. There'll be tables set up around the back entrance. If we run out of space back there, if some of those of us who are more physically capable and younger ones, maybe we could sit up at the pavilion as well, but we'll have tables down here because it's a lot easier dealing with the food in the kitchen. But that begins at 5 o'clock, and then VBS begins at 6 o'clock. A lot of other details, all of those are in the newsletter. But as you can tell, a lot has gone into getting ready for this day and for this week. Our theme is God the Master Builder. And during Vacation Bible School, we are going to emphasize for our kids, our teens, our adults, what an amazing and awesome builder God is. Tonight we're going to talk about the physical earth, physical creation. Tomorrow night we're going to talk about the body, the human body, and how we have been wonderfully made. And then on Tuesday night, we're going to talk about the church and God being the architect of us as his kingdom. And so all throughout that, we're going to talk about God as the master builder. And when you think about anybody who builds something, whether it's the world's greatest skyscraper or the smallest little personal project or hobby at home, whenever you see something that someone has made, that someone has built, that someone has fashioned with their own hands. Their creation communicates something about them. You might not know the architect, you might not know the artist or the builder, but you can learn something about a person through their creation. Sometimes you might learn whether they're a person who is more about function or more about form, whether the design and usability of something is more important to them, or whether the beauty and appearance to them is more important. I know sometimes some of us try to strike a balance, but usually we side on one or the other. We lean towards one or the other. You find out how much attention they give to detail, how much precision matters to them. You know, there are some artisans that you look at what they make and you say, I can't find a flaw in what they do. My grandmother, she did a lot of sewing, and I know sometimes she would look at quilts and she would tell me, and I still don't understand it, but she could look at somebody's stitch work and tell exactly, you know, how precise and what kind of attention to detail they put into those quilts. You find out, you know, how much durability matters to somebody. How long will somebody's creation last? Did somebody sort of skimp and, you know, shortcut some things and, yeah, it might work for a little while? Or did they say, I want this thing to work for as long as possible? You learn a lot about a creator through his or her creation. We learn a lot about God through his creation. We're going to be talking about that this week. But this passage we're going to look at this morning in Colossians chapter 1 tells us we learn a lot about our Savior. We learn a lot about Jesus and his role in creation as well. I think a lot of times we overlook the fact that our Lord, Jesus Christ, he has been right there from before the beginning, and he has been just as pivotal and instrumental and influential in all that's been created, along with the Father and along with the Spirit as well. And so this morning, I want us to make a few brief observations from this passage that John read for us, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20, that tell us about the master builder, Jesus Christ. And the first thing that we see and we observe in this passage is that all things are from him. All things are, they come from Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, the first part of verse 16 says, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities." Verse 17 says, "And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." One thing that we learn in this passage and in other parts of the Bible as well is that everything that has been created has the fingerprint of Jesus Christ on it. There is nothing that has escaped his touch. There is no detail that went past his influence. He is a part of all of it. Again, along with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. And there's other passages in the Bible that highlight this as well. One of them is John chapter 1, verse 3. When John introduces Jesus as the Word to us at the beginning of his gospel, he says everything was made through him. And then, just in case we missed that detail, he says, and there wasn't anything that was made that wasn't made without him. He gives the positive, everything was made through him, and there was nothing that was made that he didn't have a part of. That's John's way of saying, just in case you might overlook this, everything has God's handiwork, has Jesus' handiwork upon it. The other thing that's interesting in this passage, though, is that it's not just that everything was made by Jesus and through Jesus, but it continues to be upheld by Jesus. You know, there are some people who think, yeah, you know, the Godhead, they were there in Genesis 1:1. They were there at the beginning, and everything was created, and then it just sort of, you know, it just sort of carried along, sort of like winding up a clock. And it just keeps, you know, it keeps moving along ever since then. But, you know, he's sort of taken a back seat to things since the beginning. Well, that's not what this passage says. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, that's not what it says either. Hebrews 1, verse 3 tells us that everything continues to be upheld by the word of his power. You see, Jesus at this very moment is still an active, not passive, not just sitting on the sidelines. He is an active part of all that has been made. That means he's sovereign over all. He rules over all. There's nothing to which he has been subjected. It's all subjected under him and his rule. And I think sometimes, even us Christians, we sometimes forget that. That all this creation, and one of the things that Paul says here, even the thrones and dominions and rulers and authorities, none of that escapes his notice. None of that escapes his rule. He's over it all. He was behind it all. And he continues to uphold it all. But the other thing we see in this passage is that all of creation is for Jesus. All of creation is for Jesus. You look at the second part of verse 16. It says, all things were created through him and for him. Verse 18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. I do believe, based on the testimony of Scripture, based on the account of creation, that of everything that has been created, we who are made in the image of God, we are the crown of God's creation. But sometimes we can mistakenly believe that because we are the crown of creation, that ultimately all this is for us. We are a recipient and we are blessed by God's creation, but guess what? The primary and the ultimate recipient of all these things, it's not me, it's not you, it's not all of humanity put together. It's Jesus Christ. It's not just that he was behind all of these things. He was, but also that all of these things are for him. And when I begin to grasp the reality that all of these things are for him, all of creation, all that exists, one of the things Paul says, whether it's visible or invisible, even the things I can't see or appreciate or understand, everything is ultimately for the Son of the Most High God. One of the things that he highlights in verse 18, he's the head of the body. He is of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. In everything, it's Jesus who is preeminent. You see, if something has some sort of order in life, Jesus comes first. If anything has some sort of hierarchy, Jesus is on top. If anything has a sense of time to it, Jesus is the beginning. He is the best of the best of everything. And all things, guess what? They point to him. As I begin to understand and appreciate that means I don't understand everything about creation. But as I look at it and I marvel at it and I stand in awe of it, that should be directing me towards a better knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ. One of the things you read Paul's letters, whether it's Colossians or Ephesians, another thing that we find is that even in our relationships, even in our one another's in life, as we appreciate and realize the role and the place of the relationships that we have in our life, they should direct us in our understanding of him. For example, marriage. It's ultimately not about me and not about my family. It's about understanding Jesus better in his relationship with the church. As I think about how things operate in the world, it's not just about me, it's not just about us as humanity. It tells me something about the master builder, his character, his nature, his beauty, his glory. And sometimes in our busy world, we don't take time to just step back and appreciate the things that he's given us. And sometimes I can be selfish and fail to appreciate the fact that it's not ultimately for me, they're for him. But once I grasp that, I begin to see the things that he's put in my possession, they're not ultimately for me. I get to use them for a while. I might even get to enjoy them and be blessed by them. But I should be directing my things and the things within my control to what? To him. To his glory. To his honor. Because they are for him. They're not ultimately for me, even though I get to be a recipient of those things. When I realize that, I'll be less selfish with the things that are in my possession. I will be more generous to those around me. And I won't find my sense of identity through the stuff that's in my possession. Because all of those things, if I really believe what Paul says in Colossians 1, they are for him more than anyone else. My life will be changed when I realize that all of creation and all of me, because I'm a part of that creation, is for Jesus as well. The next thing that Paul tells us here is that all of God is found in Jesus. Verse 15, the very beginning of this passage, says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And then in verse 19, it says, For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. All the fullness of God, not some of God, not part of God, not a portion. Paul goes out of his way to emphasize the completeness of everything in this passage. All things. And now here, all of God. All of God, all of His attributes, all of His character, all of His fullness is found and wrapped up in Jesus. It's easy for us to lose sight of that reality. I think many times we can become like Philip. In John chapter 14, verse 8, Philip, he had the benefit of seeing Jesus firsthand. He got to hear His words with his own ears. He got to see His works with his own eyes. He got to, in person, ask Him the questions he wanted to ask and make his request. And in John 14, 8, he makes one of those requests. Philip says to Jesus, says, Show us the Father and it is enough for us. You sort of get a sense of how Jesus is like, Philip, I've been with you all this time and you still don't see? You want to see the Father? You want to know God? Look at me. See me. Consider my works. Listen to my words. Watch my example. All of God is found in me. Now we might know that. We might know exactly what Paul says here in verse 19. All the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. But then we say, you know, I'm looking for God these days. And we look for God. You know, sometimes we look for God. We're looking for the latest book or the latest trend or something that's new that you know people are all caught up and are excited about. And we think, well, I'm looking for God in that. Or we're trying to look for a person who seems to really grasp God in sort of a unique or profound or new kind of way. I just need somebody who can help show me God. Or I just need a change in my life. I need a situation. I might need a relationship. Or maybe I just need to be doing some different things in life so that I can see Jesus better. See God better. And there might be times where we need to make changes in our lives. But here's the thing. If we are looking for God and we don't look for Him first and foremost in Jesus, we're not going to find Him. All of God is found in Jesus. And if that's the case, why should I go looking in other places and other people and other directions and other pursuits to find the one who has only completely resided? His fullness rests in Jesus. For us today, we don't have the benefit of Philip. We don't get to see Him with our own eyes. We don't get to listen to Him with our own ears. And so, we've been given this testimony of His life. And if we've become bored by the Jesus that we discover in the pages of this book, we're not going to find him anywhere else. And there's nothing else in life that's going to fulfill us. There's no other way of coming to God except through his Son. And anything else, yeah, there might be in a moment sort of a trendiness to some new thing. There might be some excitement to something. But all those things, if it's not first and foremost in Christ, they will eventually be found empty. They will eventually leave us and we'll say, well, God's not here either. And they won't build us up. If God and his Son are the master builders, everything else that's out there, as Jesus says in John 10, they're just deceivers and destroyers. They take away life. They don't add to it. So if I'm going to know God, if I'm going to come to God, his fullness is found in his Son. And then finally, as this passage concludes, Paul tells us that all things are reconciled in Jesus. All things are reconciled in Jesus. Sort of concluding a thought here and transitioning into what he wants to get into in this letter. Paul will write this in verse 20. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Paul said, all things have been created by him. All things are created for him. All of God is found in Christ. And here's one more thing. Everything, not some things, not the good things. He says, all things are reconciled. And he even, again, goes out of his way, whether on earth or in heaven. He doesn't just leave it to this realm. He says, whether on earth or in heaven, all things are reconciled through him. Through Jesus Christ, God's Son. You know, sometimes we're tempted in the way we live out a passage like this. We say, yeah, I know God's behind, I know Jesus is behind everything. And yeah, I even know everything's been created for him. Yeah, I know all of God is found in Jesus as well. But you know, ever since Eden, and you look at the condition of the world today, things have just gotten out of control. Sin and evil and all that stuff, the things have just sort of spiraled out of control. And I just don't know what's going on in the world. Well, I don't know always what's going on in the world either. But here's what I know. That none of it has escaped, and none of it is beyond the power and control of King Lord Jesus. And he, even though sin has corrupted a perfect creation, we have the promise that he is reconciling all things to him, whether on earth or in heaven. And so I can have hope, and I can have confidence, and I can have joy. I don't have to live on a day-to-day basis and think, you know, where's God anymore? Or how have these things happened? Because Jesus is the reconciler of all of these things. And so that means I shouldn't be looking to other things to ultimately bring things back to the way they should be. There's no person, there's no amount of money, there's no personal pursuit, there's no election, there's nothing in this world that can bring things together like Jesus Christ can. And if I pursue reconciliation, or if I pursue a sense of peace, a sense of purpose through something else, again, I'm going to be left wondering, why didn't this work? Well, because only Jesus reconciles all things. On a personal basis, sometimes we come to the conclusion, well, you know, me and the Lord, we've just reached a point of irreconcilable differences. We use that term in our relationship sometimes. Irreconcilable. Is that what you find in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20? Not. All things are being reconciled, whether on earth or in heaven, through Him. And so if I have something in my life that's broken, if I have something in my life that needs to be fixed, if there's a situation or a relationship, and even if there's sin, and that more than anything else, that's left me in a state of what I think is disrepair, I need to come to the foot of the cross. Because Paul says that Jesus reconciled all things to Himself by making peace through the blood of His cross. When I think that whether it's the state of the world or the state of my life, and I think it's a place in a place of disrepair or it's irreconcilable, I need to go back to the cross. Because what the cross proved more than any other event in the history of the world or any other act in the life of Christ is that there is nothing that has a hold over God's Son. There is nothing that can't be made right through the life and even the death of Jesus Christ. Why? Because there was a resurrection that followed that. And through that life and that death and that resurrection, all things are being brought together again. And there is nothing that escapes His power, His control. And while the perfection of creation from the beginning in Genesis 1 is something to be in awe of and amazed at, yes, we sometimes see brokenness, but guess what? It's not going to be that way forever. And neither is the brokenness of my life if I give it over to Jesus. He is the master builder. He's not just the master builder, He's the master rebuilder. It's all coming back to Him. And upon His return, once and for all, it's going to stay that way forever and ever. And if we really believe that, we should live with confidence and joy and peace because of who He is and because of what He has done through His cross. This morning, if you need to come to Him and allow Him to build or maybe rebuild your life into what God always intended for it to be. This morning, if you're not a Christian, if you've never named Jesus Christ as